I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
About a dozen years ago when I first met Noah, that guy right there, is that, that's something. That picture is something. Anyways, moving past that, even though it'll still be up there for a minute, he quickly told me, "You're going to be working in ministry with me one day." And I had no idea what that meant. And I told him something along the lines of, whatever. I don't know what that means. I don't care. And then I probably covered his windshield in sticky notes or cheese or filled his office with balloons, as I regularly did. Maybe I'll do it again. Today, tomorrow, you never know. But long story short, I graduated from Ozark Christian College last week. Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, yes, thank you. I start seminary this fall, and in a couple of weeks, I will begin working at Boise Bible College, one of Ozark's sister schools, as the dean of students, helping disciple future ministry leaders, help them get ready for ministry work. So, I guess, thank you. Thank you. So, I guess it's safe to say that Noah was right, again, but not always, but usually. He saw something in me that I couldn't. At least I couldn't see it back then. I see it now. I couldn't at that time. So what are you ignoring within yourself? Just like it took Noah, other people, someone else pointing out gifts in me, it often takes other believers helping us recognize our place in ministry. In fact, everyone has a place in ministry, no matter what. No matter who you are, there is a place for every single human being, current believers and future believers, every single human being in the church. After all, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few, far too few. Speaking of, what comes to mind when I say church? Worship music, listening to sermons like you are right now, unless you've already fallen asleep, or catching up over coffee after service might cross your mind. Now, most people, Christian or not, think of church as a building that Christians visit once or twice a week. And while that's one small function of the church, of what we do, it's not getting at the heart of what or who the church truly is. Now, when we look at the New Testament, we get a good picture of how the early church functioned and who it was. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together every day, not just Sunday. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now you see, the early church was built around Christ and participation in ministry, not idle attendance, not just sitting in chairs. And without believers living that way back then, the gospel may never have reached Europe or Asia or Africa or the Skagit Valley. But by the power of the Holy Spirit and the obedience of our predecessors in the faith, we find ourselves in this building today. So this all makes me wonder, when people who don't know Jesus look at 1480 South Burlington Boulevard, this address, are they seeing anything that resembles the love and faithfulness of those early believers? When they drive by at night and see our mosaic lit up through the lobby window, do they see the same Jesus we claim to serve and worship right now? Well, it depends on which one of you they've met. Now, if they have met a faithful believer from this place, they don't just see a face through the window. They see, just like that mosaic made up of all the pictures of us, they see the body of Christ made up of humble, sacrificial servants. They see more than an old warehouse that used to be full of wrecked cars. They see the hands and the feet of Jesus actively engaged in the community, in the world. If they've met an idol attendee, someone who just shows up, sits, listens, and leaves, who doesn't represent Jesus with love and kindness, they see your own judgmental eyes in that face through the window, glaring at them as they pass by, not an accurate reflection of who Jesus is. The church and its people are Christ's representatives, for better or worse, his ambassadors to the world. You are making an impression. You are in a reflection of Jesus. Is it a good impression? Are you making a good impression for Christ? We are called to be his hands and his feet, acting on his word within our community. In other words, the church is the body of Christ. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. And if it's giving, then give generously. And if it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. The body of Christ is many parts and functions, but one mission: proclaim Christ in word and deed. And God uniquely gifts each believer to participate in this mission. We have work set out before each and every one of us. Now, please hear this, though. No gift is better than another. Mine are not better than yours. Yours are not better than mine. They're all necessary, no matter what they are. And they all work together toward unity and gospel ministry. Each person is unique, as they should be, and each person has a place in kingdom work. Each congregation also uniquely uses its gifts within its own context, as it should. Different buildings, different places, different things, different gifts. Now, Christ Church of Orinoco down in Missouri is where I was blessed to call home for the last 3 years. I love that place. Now, this semester, as a staff intern with their executive minister, I had the privilege of teaching several times at Young at Heart, their 55-plus ministry. And as you can tell by looking at that picture, there's not a lot of 55-year-olds in there. There's me, 23, and then them. I love every single one of them. So many stories from all of those people. I love them all. They have a special place in my heart, and they always will. But now I'll tell you, though, despite the staggering age difference, obviously, I love that group of people with all my heart, like I said. And that congregation, Christ Church of Orinoco, is one of the healthiest I have ever seen. Their leadership is impeccable. They have an incredible staff of over 50 with humble and well-educated pastors whose names you'll find on book covers and main stages at conferences across the world. But some of the most genuine ministry I saw take place in that building, 15 times the size of this one, was in a smaller, tucked away meeting room full of older saints quietly caring for each other. It's a beautiful thing. All the believers were one in heart and mind. And they shared everything they had. And there were no needy persons among them. These are elderly folks who care for those who are more elderly than themselves. They visit shut-ins. They pray together. They write letters to missionaries that Christ Church has sent out. They do community service projects. They do physical labor for each other. And they serve at so many different local ministries, and they meet so many practical needs. Young at Heart makes sure that no one slips through the cracks. And they make sure there is no needy person among them, just like the early church. No flashy programs, no platform seeking, just ordinary people faithfully serving Jesus with their gifts. That is ministry. That is the body of Christ proclaiming the name of Christ. Now, this this does make me think, what if we all acted more like the church in Acts? What if we all had the same genuine desire to fulfill the needs of the people around us as they did and as they do at Young at Heart? This is not a 2,000-year-old ideal that we can't attain. It's happening in other churches in our country today. We can do it too. Are we? Who could this group of believers be if we leaned into our identity as active, sacrificial, faithful members of the body of Christ? Because Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, every person, every gift, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work, as each person does their work. Every member built up. Every person using their gifts and encouraging others to use theirs. That is the body of Christ at work. Notice, though, Paul is not saying pastors do all the work. The role of pastors and church leaders is not to build up popular platforms, but to build up people to do the work. Healthy congregations multiply their ministry through empowered believers, not personality-driven leaders. What Paul is saying is that every person has the same calling placed upon their life. We are all called to serve Christ, love people, meet needs, and proclaim Jesus. In other words, everyone has a place in ministry. Ministry work belongs to the entire church, the entire body, not just employed ministers or super Christians or core volunteers or deacons, but to everyone who claims to believe in and follow Jesus. Now, not every person needs to be a pastor, of course, but everyone ought to act pastorally. We ought to fill needs. Not everyone must preach from a pulpit. Not everyone should preach from a pulpit. But every Christian is called to preach Christ through their words and their deeds, no matter what. And honestly, the global church, this congregation, his place, needs to stop underestimating ordinary faithfulness. Ministry is ministry, no matter how many or how few cameras are pointed at you. That doesn't matter. Let the love of Christ fill you and empower you to do good work using your gifts so that the world will see Jesus through you, will see an accurate reflection of Jesus. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. Jesus says it plainly here. The world will recognize his disciples, his body, his church, by their love. The picture they see of Jesus is informed by us, his people. The credibility of the church's witness is tied directly to whether or not we love like him. We love like Jesus. And the church looks more like Christ when it's humble and sacrifices for the sake of others, just as Jesus did for you and for me. And here's the encouraging part. God loves using ordinary people. You don't have to be impressive, because God's impressive enough. Moses was a terrible speaker, but the slaves were freed from Egypt. Gideon was timid and fearful, but he won a great victory in the name of the Lord. And I am just an introverted kid from the valley who does not like being on stage. I'd rather be on the bass in the dark corner than right here. But by the grace and the humor of God, I find myself here. Because God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. And how does God display that power? Through his church, the body of Christ, you and me. Through humble, surrendered, regular people. Imagine what could happen in this building, this town, this valley, this world, if this congregation actually lived like they are empowered by Christ. Deeper discipleship, bold evangelism, radical hospitality, prayerful dependence, and sacrificial generosity. Imagine churches, this one and others, full of people who don't just show up for services, who don't just walk in the door, sit down, and stare at the ceiling until service is up, but people who are actively discipling others and helping carry on the mission of Christ into the world. Because the future of the church is not built through attendance. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. It's faithfulness. It is built through people who are being discipled and who are making disciples. Like I said earlier, every single Christian is called to minister using their gifts. You have gifts. Are you using them? No matter what their vocation may be. If you are a plumber, then plumb to the glory of God. If you are a teacher, then shape young minds in the name of Jesus. If you are a doctor, heal in the name of Christ. And if you're a janitor, put in your best work into everything you do, just as Christ put his best work into you. Some, though, are called into vocational employed ministry as pastors, missionaries, counselors, church planters, worship leaders, and teachers. I did not know that this was an option when I was growing up. And if it weren't for Noah, I'm crying again. See, it's happening. If it weren't for Noah and for other people, many of which are in this room and who I see right now, if you didn't point it out in me, I may not have ended up here today. And how can people, children, possibly recognize that gift, that vocational ministry gift, if the church, if we aren't actively cultivating it? How many kids in that ark right now, if we pointed out their gifts and told them they could use them to the glory of God, might grow into a ministry vocation? How many pastors are in there? How many preachers? How many missionaries? How many people could be saved by those kids? If we just looked at some of them and told them, if they're good at singing, you could lead us in praise one day. And how many are burying their noses in scripture and instead of being made fun of by their friends, need adults to say to them, we need smart, kind people like you to help other people know God's word. Because Jesus himself says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers, pastors, preachers, missionaries, into the harvest field. Lots of people still need to be saved. That harvest field's not getting any smaller. The need has not changed, and the workers are still few. You can be one of them, regardless of vocation. Perhaps our emphasis, though, can change, even though the need hasn't. Perhaps we can shift from idle attendance to actively engaging our community and our world with the gospel. There's no better work to do than share the gospel. Maybe we can stop treating this building as just a place to attend and start treating it like a training ground for the other 6.5 days of ministry that we're supposed to be participating in. Are you participating in it? Maybe we can do our part to ensure that the church is a people sent by Christ for the sake of Christ, an accurate reflection of that Jesus they see when they drive by. Because you're making an impression. Is it a good one? Because ordinary believers, you and me, can change the world in immeasurable ways through the power of the God that we love and that we serve. So what is your ministry? Because you have one, and you have one. Everyone has one. How has God gifted you to empower the body of Christ? You have gifts. Are you using them? Will you stop ignoring those gifts that God has placed within you? Because after all, there are lots of needs in the church and in the world. So which ones are you uniquely gifted to fill? Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we worship you. We worship you by using the gifts that you have given us. Holy Spirit, inspire us and empower us to be actively engaged in the church and the world. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we thank you for setting the perfect example of humble service. And it's all in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.